Z-Trim Appetite Control is perfect for taking the edge off hunger.
I lost 6 pounds the first week and never felt hungry.
I lost a full pant size.
I've lost 15 pounds in 2 months without dieting.
Without dieting.
You're hearing the success stories of people who have discovered Z-Trim Appetite Control. Developed by the USDA, all-natural Z-Trim helps you feel satisfied before you eat more than you should.
I can breeze through work without distracting hunger pains.
I don't have to exercise and I still eat the foods that I love.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is a healthy way to help manage your weight regardless of diet or exercise.
I simply take 2 capsules before each meal.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is fantastic.
For people who need to manage their weight with limited physical activity, Z-Trim provides a naturally healthy option.
To order Z-Trim Appetite Control capsules made with USDA-developed Z-Trim, go to ztrim.com. That's ztrim.com. And enter the code word NATURAL for a 10% listener discount. Or call 1-877-MY-Z-Trim. The only thing you have to lose is weight.
Making good progress toward coming up with a plan that we think will help us achieve our objective. As I think about this plan, I'm always have our troops in mind.
Well, that's certainly leaderly of you, Mr. Bush. CNN had some pictures today of George W. Bush and his war cabinet meeting out in Prairie Chapel, his war cabinet. These guys really like to play grown-up, don't they? Good evening, Truth Seekers. My name is Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in tonight. Also from Crawford, Texas, the spokesman for President Chucklenuts said the Iraqi government, quote-quote, has told U.S. officials that former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein could be executed tomorrow, or possibly Saturday, maybe Sunday. The Bush administration official said, quote, I've heard it's going to be a couple more days, probably, end quote. In other words, while Bush takes his holiday break at the Texas ranch. The spokesman for President Chucklenut said he heard from U.S. officials in Baghdad that the execution would not be Thursday, U.S. time, or Friday, Baghdad time. The official said, quote, it's going to be maybe another day or so. This is sick. It really is sick. One of our listeners in the U.K., Simon, writes, thought they'd save that sick parade of 24-hour continuous wargasms for January 4th. You know, the Saddam death orgy. Just in time to cut into the coverage of the first female speaker being sworn in. Geez, Simon writes, I'm only 24 and I'm astounded by how cynical I am already. Yeah. Is Fox or CNN or MSNBC or somebody going to put up a logo now? Saddam Hussein Death Watch. Is there going to be music? Are they going to brand this guy's execution the way they branded Bush's murderous little war? What kind of music? What would be appropriate music, Kathy, for the Saddam Hussein Death Watch? Death in Baghdad. What would be a good title for it? The Hanging of Saddam Hussein. You think of anything? Hangman's Haunt.
I think they ought to do, you know, like in Times Square where they drop the big ball on New Year's Eve. I think they ought to do that. I think they ought to slowly lower his body, you know, somehow with the hangman's noose and then count down and then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and when he's in the death throes, then lots of fireworks shoot up from his feet. I think that's actually what Fox is probably planning for New Year's Eve. See, I disagree with the emailer.
Jesus, you're sicker than I am.
I think this was calculated specifically to tie in with the Happy New Year celebration to compete with Dick Clark. Dick Clark has had no competition.
Okay, can I retract
for
the question?
Decades.
Can I
see, we have the dropping of Saddam.
Kathy?
In Atlanta, we have the peach drop. In Big Apple, they have, I guess, the apple. And now in Baghdad,
the Saddam drop?
The Saddam drop.
Oh, my
Think
God.
Think about it.
And I'm married
better,
to you, right?
What better way to usher in the new year than with the Saddam drop? Fox News has been planning. I swear to God, Rupert Murdoch was on the phone with that Iraqi judge. He said, let me make a deal. Well, I don't know. I can't speak Australian.
Yeah, okay. Thanks. Thanks, Kathy. I'm real glad I asked the question. Speaking
if they could use the Florida electric chair,
yeah.
See, then they wouldn't need the fireworks.
Okay.
Then his head would just explode on its own. God, you know, somebody needs to get on the merchandising here.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, this is Molly's mother talking. She was a nice young woman when I first met her. And she said, oh, what do you do for a living? I work in talk radio. All right, let's listen to Chuckle Nuts. We only have two for you tonight, two moron sounds on the good progress he is making on his new Iraq policy while vacationing at Prairie Chapel. Now, after meeting his security team, war cabinet, you know, I'm kind of like Roosevelt, kind of like Churchill. Bush had this to say to reassure the public that he is indeed doing something about the bloody nightmare he created. But this befuddled Fruit Loop is still talking about success in Iraq and still trying to link 9/11 to Iraq. Hey, Bush, check your Ouija board. Gerald Ford just bitch-slapped you on your horrible failure from beyond the grave. Thanks to Bob Woodward. How does it feel to have somebody reach out from beyond the pale and grab you by the short ears, George, and say, I told the son of a bitch he shouldn't do that. I told somebody. I don't remember. Am I dead yet? Am I still dead? Oh, Christ. Here he is, President Chucklenuts.
I've got more consultation to do. Until I talk to the country about the plan, obviously we'll continue to work with the Iraqi government. Key to success in Iraq is to have a government that's willing to deal with the elements there that are trying to prevent this young democracy from succeeding.
Yeah, okay.
We want to help them succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll continue to consult with the Iraqis. I'm going to talk to Congress.
Oh.
Success in Iraq is vital for our own security. If we were to not succeed in Iraq, the enemy, the extremists, the radicals would have safe haven from which to launch further attacks. They would be emboldened.
Oh, my God.
They would be in a position to threaten the United States of America. This is an important part of the war on terror.
No. It's the only part of the war on terror. There are no more troops to fight it anywhere else, you murderer. Hey, monkey man, Iraq never launched an attack against the United States. What do you mean to launch further attacks? Oh, Christ. I wonder, as you and I are sitting here tonight, I wonder if the number that Tony Snow is going to say is just a number, 3,000 dead Americans, I wonder if we have reached that number in Iraq tonight. Usually there's a bit of a delay in the actual deaths and the reporting of the deaths by the Department of Defense. I know we're up around 2,991, aren't we? Maybe that could be the New Year's Eve drop, Kathy, since you were quite creative there with the Saddam drop. How about the number 3,000 dropping? I'm sure one of our crack cable news networks will come up with something like it. Is it just me, truth seekers, or do his warm wishes Bush's about the troops somehow ring false. You, wow, Bush is making good progress toward a plan. Gee, how many more dead today? No rush, dim sum. Enjoy your vacation down there, safe and comfy with your war cabinet.
We're making good progress toward coming up with a plan that we think will help us achieve our objective.
Oh.
As I think about this plan, I'm always have our troops in mind.
Oh, good.
My thoughts are with the troops as we head into 2007. People always ask me about a New Year's resolution. My resolution is that they'll be safe.
Then bring them home!
And that we'll come closer to our objective.
Closer?
That we'll be able to help this young democracy survive and thrive.
Yeah.
And therefore, we'll be writing a chapter of peace.
Right.
I can't thank our families enough for supporting their loved one who wear the uniform. And I can't thank those who, soldiers and sailors and airmen and Coast Guard men and women, folks in the Air Force who represent the United States of America.
Jesus Christ, what a murderer. What a killer. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Have you seen the little piggies crawling in the dirt? And for all the little piggies, life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play around in. Starched white shirt. You will find bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean shirts to play on.
Yeah, yeah, let him in.
Nation where the dictator treated himself to palaces with gold faucets, gold-covered AK-47s.
He really is sick, Bush. He just... This is insane. I guess I have become hyper concerned about, quote, what the neighbors think, you know, the rest of the world, what they think of us. I remember when I was a kid, that was how my mother and my grandmother used to kind of control us, unruly children. What are the neighbors going to think? And I never too much gave a damn, you know, as a kid. But I wonder what the rest of the world thinks. This man is going to be executed in a U.S. prison, I believe, unless they literally turn him over to this toy government that we created, this democracy. He'll be executed in a U.S. prison. Jesus Christ. I mean, this is just unbelievable. He wasn't convicted by an American court or an international tribunal like... what happened with the Nazis and the Japanese high command after World War II? This stuff is getting more and more difficult to deal with, right? It really is. Let's go to your phone calls. Susan is calling from Columbia City, Oregon. Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
I have a thought. What I want to know about Osama bin Bush is what he is going to do when this man is executed and a country and a culture that really and truly believes in martyrdom has a martyr. It's going to explode in a bloodbath. He has no comparison.
I think you're right. I think the warnings are already out there. There is a website that is usually fairly accurate in its predictions, and the word is out that when Saddam is executed, his former supporters are going to unleash the kind of hell that George Bush can only imagine in his wildest drunken nightmares.
And it's not just going to be in Iraq. This time they're going to come after us, and I can't say if I blame them.
I hear you. I hear you.
Anyway, that's just my thought. I thought I'd throw that in.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks for
checking. You have a nice night, Mike.
Thank you, Susan. I appreciate it. No, the the immediate effect of an execution of Saddam Hussein will be increased violence in Iraq, Sunni, Shia, Shia, Sunni. And as we mentioned the other night, there's nothing that warms the cockles of a neocon's heart more than to see Muslims killing Muslims. That's the immediate effect. The long-term effect is going to be probably what Susan just suggested. The warnings are out. The Bush crime family couldn't care less. They don't give a damn. Just get me more Marines, more soldiers. I've got to continue to play my little game. I don't know, folks. We're in for a rough ride. I do know that. Man. Pat is calling from Minneapolis. Hey, Pat, welcome to the program.
Hey there. Hey, I was watching the Wizard of Oz a few nights back, and I had an epiphany.
Yeah?
And they were talking about the Bush administration. Okay? The Scarecrow. He wants a brain.
Right.
Gotta be Junior.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Tin Man wants a heart. Well, there's Cheney.
That's Cheney, yeah.
Yeah. Cowardly Lion, Rummy.
Yeah.
And Dorothy's got to be Connie Rice.
Well, there you go.
Uh-huh. And the Wizard's got to be Tom DeLay. Am I right or am I right?
Well,
and all those little munchkins,
yeah,
right, in Munchkin Land,
yeah,
they've got to be the religious right, you know, and a rub-rub here and a scrub-scrub there.
That's
am I right or am I right?
I think you're right. if you're not right, you may be right. No, that has been suggested before, that that everybody in The Wizard of Oz is somehow a member of the Bush cabinet, the Bush crime family, the Bush collection
of thugs.
Yeah.
Mafia?
Yeah, there you go. That's the word I was thinking of.
Texas Mafia, that's what they are.
I hear you. That's a good idea. Thanks, Pat.
You're welcome.
All right, sir, take care.
You
stay
too.
With
Bye-bye.
Us, Truth Seekers. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Signed today directs new funds and new focus to the task of collecting vital intelligence on terrorist threats and on weapons of mass production.
Jesus Christ. I just need to say, we get an enormous amount of emails in here every night, and I try to read them all. The ones that, you know, the ones that start with, hey, you rotten bastard. I have a system here that those just get immediately deleted. But, and I want to answer all of them, but it's just impossible. It's just impossible. If you get an email back from me after you've written, I don't know. I just try to randomly pick some and respond. And I hate that, because I think if someone takes the time to write, that one should respond. with just a word or two. But I just want to let you know, sometimes it's just damn near impossible to answer them all. And the reason I bring it up now is because I've gotten a lot of emails about the program last night. About the debunking of Gerald Ford as a great healer. Gerald Ford violated his oath of office twice. I think members of Congress have to swear to uphold the Constitution, don't they? I don't know. Maybe the Constitution has nothing to do with covering up the assassination of John Kennedy and covering up or pardoning Dick Nixon before that criminal bastard could be brought to justice. And as one of our emailers said here tonight, this is from, I think it's Master Miller. I hate to urinate on a dead man's grave, but here it goes. Ford had the opportunity to prove to the world that American democracy does function, and that we are a nation of laws and not men. He blew it twice with his co-writing of the fictional Warren Commission and later the pardon he gave to Nixon. And that's the part that is just hard to accept. Over the past 2 days, this orgy of death worship or whatever the hell is going on with these television networks and the government. Jesus Christ, I mean, it's just unbelievable. You know, he was okay. He's a human being. I mean, he deserves the respect. He was a man who lived. We tried to settle that last night. I'm all confused. Do we go by the Mark Antony model of the shake of the funeral oration for Julius Caesar? Do we go by the John Donne model? No man is an island. You know, I don't know. The man had a family. The man had people that loved him. All right. He was a human being. He lived a long life. He died. There's a lot of people connected to Gerald Ford who's feeling sadness. Who are feeling sadness? Family members, friends. That's right and just and proper. He's got what he had, 3 sons, didn't he? And a daughter? I don't know. Just a fairly big family. And I have to say, his wife was just very, 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 very admirable. I have nothing bad to say about Betty Ford. I really don't. Not a thing. And the bad things to say about Gerald Ford simply have to do with his policies and his cover-ups and his willingness for him to urinate all over the U.S. Constitution and the law and to hide things and to keep it going and to introduce into American politics two of the most evil sons of bitches ever to come down the pipe and to do business with Henry Kissinger and to authorize slaughters in Indonesia. I mean, come on! And Saddam Hussein is going to hang for his atrocities, and he probably should hang. But what about Henry Kissinger? Shouldn't he hang? But this orgy of cloying, kind of sickening, why not just let it be? Why not just say the 38th president of the United States died 2 nights ago, 3 nights ago, whenever it was now. And his family grieves, and his wife will miss him, and his children are heartbroken, and let it go at that. That's not what happens in this country. We are death worshipers. We are pro-death. We are so pro-death. Slaughter, mass murder, individual killing. Oh, Jesus, God. Guns and bombs and weaponry and the death industry in this country. We're the largest exporter of weapons of mass destruction, not mass destruction, individual destruction in the history of the human race. This is a death-dealing culture, and you and I are in it up to our necks. And when something like this occurs, the death of a man who defined mediocrity. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Gerald Ford raised mediocrity to an art form. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But for Christ's sake, what did I read in the paper today? In his 11 terms as a member of the House, or 13 terms, not one piece of legislation ever introduced by Representative Gerald Ford. Never. Nothing. Nothing. He was a cipher, a comma, a semicolon. Until he was picked by Republicans to replace the disgraced criminal Spiro Agnew. And then he succeeded to the presidency because of the criminality of the sick megalomaniac Dick Nixon. What's he remembered for? Stepping all over the Warren Commission, altering the findings of the Warren Commission in order to make the so-called single bullet theory work, and pardoning, arguably, one of the premier criminals in the American political system, Richard Nixon. Oh, well. Oh, well. What's this? From the Guardian Unlimited? Gerald Ford's state funeral is missing some of the grandeur of the one for Ronald Reagan 2 years ago, but George W. Bush is saying we want 5 days of ceremonies. Anything to divert attention. Okay, let's go back to phone calls here for a moment. All right, Sarge is calling from Mississippi. Hey, Sarge.
How you doing, Ike?
I'm doing all right.
You know, I was listening to Bush, and which is really hard to do. Would you clear up a word in there for me? Did he say secede, as
yes.
in the South seceded from the Union? Okay, I'm sorry. It just hit me when I heard that. I said, I wonder if he's using the same word or is he saying
Sarge, he has no idea.
It's just the way he said it. It makes me think of these Southerners down here. You know, people around here saying, "Oh yeah, the South seceded from the Union." And okay. But I mean, that's just and as far as Ford goes, listen. If a coach dies, you don't say, well, he never lost a game. He
right.
never coached a losing game.
Right.
Hey, his record stays intact regardless. Or are we supposed to say, well, you know, we got to say something good about Hitler now? Well, you know, he did a good deal to keep population control underhand.
I know. It's
that's
awful.
Just about as good as you can go, you know?
I know.
I mean, the record is the record. So you're not bashing him. You are telling what the man
Well, I understand. It's just, like I said the other night, I was raised with the idea that you're not supposed to speak ill of the dead. That's a religious point of view, I understand. It may also be an ethical point of view, but I'm just sick of seeing people who were responsible for so much global death, who are responsible for so much misery and agony. I mean, on a scale that you and I can't imagine. Yeah, even worse than what you're dealing with down there in Mississippi. People are responsible for crime and lies and perverting the rule of law in this country, treated like heroes, like Ronald Reagan, like Gerald Ford. Even Nixon, when he died, he allegedly was rehabilitated. Tell the millions of people in Indochina who are dead because of Nixon's policies, you know, go kick their graves open and ask them if they think Nixon was rehabilitated.
Right.
That's the thing that drives me crazy.
Or should we tear down the Vietnam Wall now that Nixon's dead?
And what's going to happen when this rat bastard Henry Kissinger dies? Can you imagine how the neocons are going to slobber all over his corpse?
Oh, well, down here is Henry Kissinger he's about two places removed from God.
Oh, good Lord.
Hey, listen, Mike, let me give you an update on what's going on now that you mentioned things down here. Since I asked you to put out about the truckers,
yeah,
we have had at least one trucking firm that has said, hey, we want to step up. We've had several truck drivers come up and say, let us know what you need, and we'll work with you on it. So all that's going really, really good. And we're having, I'm not sure the total amount that Jim's got, but it's at least $3,000.
Well, I just hope that people will respond. And they can email you, sarge@unreportednews.net.
That's right, or they can drop by the site. I'm going to have the list up, and soon as the things that we need, we've got to work out some details on, like, where to take the merchandise or how to get it, you know.
That's good. That's good. All right. Do that and let me know when you get it up. Sarge, I got a break here.
Okay.
All right, sir. Later. Thank you. I appreciate you checking in, pal.
Because life's too short to listen to right-wing radio, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Oh, by the way, the number here is 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. Ron is calling from Davis, California. Ron, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great. Yeah. It's thrilled to have you back in the, we've talked before, but it's thrilled to have, it's been a while. Great to have you back in the greater Sacramento area. I told Christine Kraft that, before she made the announcement, I said, well, I knew Mike was coming because I saw a whole bunch of flying monkeys leaving Sacramento. So, you know, before I get into this thing, I just want to, talk a bit about Bush's and how threatening it is to the entire planet. I do want to give Sarge, I don't know what to say. I'm an agnostic, but I just want to bless the man, and I think he's an American, a true American hero. And if you're listening, Sarge, I wish everybody would go out and get something going your way. I mean, everybody. He's an amazing person.
He is indeed.
I really thank you, Mike, because I think you're the number one connection with Sarge and always have been. I just wanted to mention that I know a little bit about brain neurochemistry, and I've been seeing Bush's, like, when I look at the man, I can't stand to look at his face and so forth, but if I can imagine, if you can just imagine a pure brain hanging in space,
mm-hmm.
right, with nerves leading out to various body parts, especially the nerves going to the face,
right.
I think we got a serious critical mass problem that is probably climax, I would say within the last month, wherein there's too many dead neurons now and the dendritic connections are just shriveling up. So there's nobody home behind the eyeballs.
You may be entirely right.
Oh, yeah, no, I just based, I'm not doing a, what's his name, you know, diagnosing
right.
poor Terry Schiavo or something like that. But, I mean, if that record, you played in a recording earlier, was that him today?
Yes.
Yeah, it's because I can, like, read voices and read, you know, certain signs and things, and it's gone, man. I mean, there's nobody there, and it's incredibly frightening because there's no conscience, there's no ability to have a conscience. And it's sort of like a cold-blooded, worse than Caligula, if you can imagine. I mean, you might get some tintillation out of ripping body parts apart. I don't know, but it's almost like there's no affect.
Well, I know, you know, when he was out there today, I caught some of the video, and the two people that I watched closely were Condoleezza Rice and Peter Pace. I believe that was Peter Pace there, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And I don't think I have ever, you know, I'm no fan of Condoleezza Rice. I think she's a phony. I think she's in way over her head.
She
would just go home. But I think I saw some of what you're talking about, because I think these people are realizing that they're working for somebody now who has truly lost whatever tenuous connection he had with reality to begin with, and I think they're aware of it. Condoleezza Rice's face looked like she had just been given a notice that her mother had died.
Yeah.
And she just stood there almost in shock.
It was,
that's the only thing I could think of. These people are in shock.
Yeah,
and it went on the entire time. This crazy little bastard stood there and gave his talk. It was just unbelievable. Peter
right.
Pace.
If you could isolate him, like if someone who is really sharp like yourself, or there's hundreds of others, I think you'd lock up his nervous system. In other words, you could ask him certain questions where he'd just sit there and blink. It reminds me of like an Impala who is so frightened by the charging cheetah that they just freeze and just blink. They can't move. They're frozen.
Yeah,
and I really think there's something seriously wrong with the brain. You know, and I refuse to call it George Bush anymore. It's just like this, you know, whatever, chuckle nuts body walking around, and it presents a tremendous danger for the whole planet because he's
I think it does. I think it does. I don't think there's any question that as long as Bush is in office, the entire human species is at very, very, very high risk. This goes way beyond anything that Nixon was capable of.
Yeah, we passed the critical mass, I mean, as far as I can tell. I mean, you know, what's that button over there? It's red. What's it for? I'm going to push it.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, God.
Well,
all right. Well, you've just made me nervous as a whore in Sunday school. So,
well, yeah, but you're also, when I give up, like you've given up, I hear Sarge and I hear you and I go, oh, shit, there's a few of us left.
You can't.
I forgot that.
Yeah. All right.
All right, thanks.
All right, anyway, thanks. I appreciate you checking in, Ron. Take care. Nina is calling from Sacramento. Nina, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hey, Nina.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to call and say it is so great to have you back on the air. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't want to listen to talk radio anymore.
Well, I'm glad to be back.
It is just so wonderful. I was just turning the dial. I heard your voice. I was like, no way. I know I'm not hearing his voice. It is so great because your show is always on the cutting edge. You always know the right things to say, and you don't hold back. And it's just refreshing when everybody else is tight-lipped and trying to be politically correct. You come out and tell it like it is, and I'm so glad you're back on the air.
Well, like I said, we're certainly glad to be back. It's really weird to, you know, to have a certain profession that you do and not be able to do it. It'd be like, you know, a truck driver with no truck to drive or a brain surgeon with no brain to cut open or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And being on
it's a part of you.
Yeah, exactly. And not working is not a good thing. I become dangerous then.
Start plotting things.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'm just glad you're back, and this is going to be your regular time again. Just like
yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Nina. Thanks,
all right, good.
Thanks
Thank
for checking
you.
In. All
Bye-bye.
Right, take care. Quick break here. Well, it's not a quick one. As a matter of fact, it's a fairly lengthy break, and we'll be back after this fairly lengthy break. Stick around. We have a couple more topics to add into the mix and your phone calls. All right? I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. The is it Monterey? Monterey Herald reported yesterday the death of a lawyer who the article says that he fell to his death at a hotel. It's now being described by the police as a probable suicide. The attorney, Paul Sanford, fell at least 9 floors to his death at the Embassy Suites Hotel, Monterey Bay, in Seaside. the morning before Christmas. Sanford's friend and business associate said, quote, I'm at a loss for words. Paul really had his fingers in a lot of different pies. He was from the East Coast, and I used to call him our West Coast Kennedy. In addition to running his criminal defense practice in Capitola, California, Sanford was active in community organizations, hosted several independent radio shows in Santa Cruz and Monterey counties. Goes on and on. What is interesting, this attorney, Paul Sanford, was also active in the national arena. He appeared before the U.S. Supreme Court along with Elk Grove resident Michael Newdow when he argued unsuccessfully that the words under God should be stricken from the Pledge of Allegiance. The attorney, who is now dead, always carried a copy of the U.S. Constitution in his pocket, his former partner said. He was a champion of the downtrodden. He represented homeless people in Santa Cruz. He fought for free speech. He did a run across America. You name it, he's done it. He goes on and on. He was in the White House press corps in 2005, making waves as the first reporter to ask then-White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan whether the leaking of CIA agent Valerie Plame's name might be considered an act of treason. McClellan was apparently flustered by the question, replied that, quote, those are matters for those overseeing the investigation to decide, end quote. Now, that little incident sparked a controversy after right-wingers incorrectly described Paul Sanford as a reporter for the Air America Radio Network. At the time, which he wasn't, we didn't have any reporters. We have a couple of people who work for Air America who are news anchors, but we don't have any reporters. We have people who read the news. At the time, he was associated with Watsonville, California radio station KOMY, which was an Air America affiliate, probably still is. And Paul Sanford told reporters he never claimed to work for Air America. Anyway, his friends say they're shocked. His former partner says, I just don't know what happened. There was nothing on the horizon to know this was going to happen. We had plans to get together this week. His wife, Paula, is obviously in shock. His friend said that Paul Sanford, a father of two, was a devoted family man. Police declined to state exactly why they ruled the case a suicide. Isn't it interesting? I know it probably is. Who knows? Who knows what demons operate inside somebody's head? I mean, we all have our demons, don't we? And sometimes if the demons, so to speak, you know I don't believe in that crap, but I'm talking about the pain, the bad thoughts that we all deal with, whether it was something from 50 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 minutes ago. We all deal with that. It's a constant struggle sometimes for some of us just to, you know, wake up in the morning and say, no, I'm not today. I'm going to live today. You know, a lot of us do that. We really do. And you know, a clinician would say, well, Jesus, that's serious depression. Maybe it is, but for a lot of people, making that decision every day to stay alive is the most important part of their day. And you got, I don't know, I'd respect that. I was about to say, you got to respect that. Well, you don't have to respect anything, but I certainly respect that. By the same token, every time I turn around, it seems like, in the past 6 years, with this creepy bastard in the White House, I just more and more and more people who were involved somehow in something that could have irritated the psychopath that is the chief executive, they wind up dead. You notice that? Whether they're authors, people who write books about the Bush crime family wind up committing suicide. People who challenge this son of a bitch in the White House press room wind up committing suicide. People who are whistleblowers, because of creepy stuff going on in the Bush administration wind up committing suicide. Isn't it amazing? What does this mean? Does this mean that everyone who speaks out against the Bush administration is critically, clinically depressed, right on the verge of suicide? What does it mean? Does anybody know what it means? Doesn't mean anything, does it? Huh? Nah, just more conspiracy theory madness. Means nothing. Paul Sanford may have been a hideously depressed man and finally decided the day before Christmas, well, I think I'll kill myself. Or 2 days before Christmas or whatever it was. Sure. The Food and Drug Administration has decided that food from cloned animals is safe to eat and does not require special labeling. This really creeps me out. This freaks me out. I still eat flesh, and when I put it that way, and I put it that way deliberately because I wish I could stop. I'm an addict. I eat flesh.
Ugh.
And I wish I could stop. And every once in a while, Kathy and I will, and Molly will go on a binge where we just stay away from this. We get tired of using our digestive tracts as graveyards. And it took me 10 years to stop smoking, though. So I guess, which I haven't for coming up on 5 years now, but I guess meat is the same kind of addiction. I don't know. But anyway, the FDA announced this morning that it would approve cloned livestock and there would be no labels. Consumer groups say labels are a must because surveys have shown people to be uncomfortable with the idea of cloned livestock. But the FDA concluded that cloned animals are virtually indistinguishable from conventional livestock and that no identification is needed to judge their safety for the food supply. Okay, maybe so. I've heard the argument that a cloned animal is nothing more than an identical twin. It's the same as a twin. I guess. I don't know. Is it, Kathy? Is it the same as a twin? A cloned animal?
As far as I know, it's genetically identical.
Genetically identical.
They say that after a certain amount of maturity, like after 18 months, it's indistinguishable.
The FDA, a couple of scientists there said, quote, meat and milk from clones and their progeny is as safe to eat as corresponding products derived from animals produced using contemporary agricultural practices, end quote, whatever the hell that means. I can remember, though, when they decided to use injecting hormones into dairy cattle to force the animals to produce more milk. And as a result of that, there were an awful lot of cows that got an awful lot of sickness going. And there were state laws passed that said that the dairies could not identify what milk came from, BGST, bovine growth hormone, BGH, that the milk from those animals could not be labeled as such. And consumer groups just absolutely went berserk. And in most of those states, I believe, unless it's changed back again, most of those states passed laws that said, okay, it can be labeled. I realize this is different. I don't know. Well, the scientist says it's not a genetically engineered animal. No genes have been changed or moved or deleted. It's simply a genetic twin that we can then use for future matings to improve the overall health and well-being of the herd. Well, maybe so.
Mike Malloy Show, because each time you listen to Right Wing Radio, God kills a kitten.
21 past the hour. Two items of interest here from the Iraq War here on the home front. Cindy Sheehan and a couple of her partners have been, I think four other people, five of them, were arrested this afternoon outside Bush's ranch. She and the other four women were in the road protesting this murderous bastard. They were asked to move. They refused. Sheriff's Department spokesman, or Texas Department of Public Safety spokesman, said, Sheehan told us, if you want us to get out of the road, you're going to have to arrest us. So we did. She and the others were taken to the McLennan County Sheriff's Department, booked and jailed. It's not known at this point if any of the protesters made bail. Sheehan and the others are charged with obstructing a highway, which is a misdemeanor punishable by up to a $2,000 fine and 6 months in jail. Vice President and mass murderer Dick Cheney's motorcade was delayed leaving the Texas ranch while officers removed the protesters. Sheehan has been arrested previously. She and three other women were convicted earlier this month in New York of trespassing. They had attempted in March of 2005 to deliver an anti-Iraq war petition to the UN-US mission and ignored signals to disperse. The four were acquitted of disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, and obstructing government administration. The Manhattan judge fined them $95 and gave them a conditional discharge. That meant if any of the women were arrested again, they could face a tougher sentence. Cindy Sheehan. And then there's this. This is from Grandmothers Against the War. They're going to hold a vigil at Rockefeller Center the day after 3,000 American deaths in Iraq is reported. The press release says, sadly, it is expected that within the next 2 weeks, the number of American military personnel who have lost their lives in Iraq will reach the 3,000 mark if the current horrifying weekly rate is sustained. To acknowledge the tragic day, many ceremonies and protests are planned, among them that of the Grandmothers Against the War. They will hold a vigil in front of Rockefeller Center. They have conducted a vigil there every Wednesday afternoon, beginning almost 3 years ago. But it will be held on whatever day follows day 3,000. People who want to participate in this will meet at the regular time and place, 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. on the west side of 5th Avenue between 49th and 50th Streets. You got that? The west side of 5th Avenue between 49th and 50th, 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. The event will be observed in protest of the occupation of Iraq. Well, it goes on. If you want more information about this, you can get in touch with, here's the email address, Joan Weil, W-I-L-E, J-O-A-N-W-I-L-E, Joan Weil, at grandmothersagainstthewar.org. Joan Weil, J-O-A-N-W-I-L-E, at grandmothersagainstthewar.org. One more time, Joan Weil, J-O-A-N-W-I-L-E, at grandmothersagainstthewar.org. There's a phone number here, but I just don't want to give it for obvious reasons. The lurkers. All right, last thing, and then we're going to go back to the phone calls. Two things, but they're connected. The Bush administration yesterday made a concession, a flip-flop, on the dangers of global warming. They are proposing protection for the polar bear. Because global warming is destroying their environment. The ice is melting. And for people in Canada, this is not going to be a news flash, but it damn sure will be for us in the United States. This comes from CanWest News, Canada West News. An ancient ice shelf has cracked off northern Ellesmere Island, creating an enormous 66 square kilometer ice island and leaving a trail of icy blocks in its wake. Ellesmere Island is the It's the most northerly of the Canadian Arctic islands, and it's not that far from Greenland. Ellesmer Island is the world's 10th largest island, according to Wikipedia, and Canada's third largest island. Well, a huge 66 square kilometer ice island broke off. It's incredible, said a spokesman from Université Laval. I got some more on this. Let me do the break. We'll come back. This is pretty scary stuff. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
For a liberal helping of truth, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Break my stride. Make me smile. Every time I've cried.
It's about 25 before the hour. Now, this thing at Ellesmere Island in northern Canada is pretty scary. 66 square kilometer ice island broke off of this ice shelf that has been there for, where is it? It's been there for thousands of years. And the way it was reported by the Canadian news agency, it was so powerful, earthquake monitors 250 kilometers away picked up the tremors. This thing is anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 year old ice shelf. It tore away from its fjord on Ellesmere Island. The scientists say they are only now making public the details about this thing breaking away. It occurred several months ago. After piecing together what occurred using seismic monitors and Canadian and U.S. satellites, they say the ice shelf collapse is suspected to have been caused by global warming, is the biggest in Canada in 30 years, and is indicative of the transformation underway on Ellesmere, Canada's most northern landmass. This professor, Warwick Vincent, said, "We are seeing incredible changes. People talk of endangered animals. Well, these are endangered landscape features, and we're losing them." Good God. It goes on. You can find this at truthout.org. Truthout.org. It's under the heading, "Ice Shelf Collapse Sends Chill." The ice island is about 37 meters thick and measures roughly 15 kilometers by 5 kilometers. That's the size of a small city, or larger than 11,000 football fields. The island is now stuck in weak winter ice, but the researchers say it is only a matter of time before it's freed and floats away. The researchers say the island could become a potential hazard to navigation and oil and gas extraction if it sails south toward the Beaufort Sea. Ah! And in the meantime, Chuckle Nuts backtracks, flip-flops on global warming and says, "Oh, well, yeah, I guess it's for real, so let's protect the polar bear." So how are they going to protect the polar bear? Well, the Interior Secretary Dick Kempthorne says the polar bears should be added to the list of threatened species. And if that occurs, because, you see, the polar bear's habitat is threatened by the melting Arctic sea ice, what we were just talking about. If that occurs, it would bar U.S. government agencies from any activity that would jeopardize polar bears or their hunting grounds, and could potentially require the administration to compel U.S. industries to curb their carbon dioxide output. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeedy. The move was hailed as a victory for environmental organizations, which have increasingly resorted to the U.S. courts to try to bring America in line with other countries on global warming. Brendan Cummings, a lawyer for the Center for Biodiversity, one of three environmental organizations which brought the suit on behalf of the polar bear, said, quote, "This is a very different position from the one the administration was taking a few years ago when it was casting doubt on the science of global warming. It's an affirmation that global warming is real," end quote. Oh, well, let's all raise a glass. Oh, my goodness. Well, the polar bear has been... Well, okay. Thank you, George. Oh, Jesus, I love you. The UN Environmental Program recently concluded that the extent of summer ice in the Arctic has shrunk by more than 25% over the past 50 years. The U.S. government's official National Snow and Ice Data Center say that a stunning reduction in sea ice has taken place in the last 4 years. This is reported in The Guardian of the UK. Okay. Oh, and one last thing. The former Interior Secretary, Gail Norton, a woman who worked as a lobbyist for the lead industry, trying to convince parents that, well, lead is good for your child. Don't worry. If your child eats lead, it's okay. Gail Norton, that psychopath, she is back providing oversight of energy development issues on public lands in the American West. But this time, she is a lobbyist. And, counsel, the attorney for Royal Dutch Shell. Jesus. Shell, one of the world's largest producers of oil, was also one of the companies that Norton's Interior Department routinely engaged on matters of drilling in sensitive ecological settings. Yaddy, 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 yad. Norton will now serve as general counsel for Shell's Unconventional Resources Division. By unconventional resources, a Shell spokesman said, it pertained to emerging technology that targets such things as oil shale and extra heavy oil. Yeah, but a blah, 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 blah. Now, it was Gail Norton and her former deputy at the Department of Interior, J. Stephen Griles, that worked with Dick Cheney through his National Energy Task Force to once again defraud the American public, lie, cheat, sneak, and steal. During Norton's tenure at the Department of Interior, rules pertaining to the permitting of oil and gas were eased, allowing the Bureau of Land Management to speed up the leasing process for natural gas extraction in controversial areas like the Jonah Field and Pinedale Anticline in the upper Green River Basin of Wyoming, across the state in the Powder River Basin, and in New Mexico, Colorado, and Utah. Just thought you might like to know. What an evil, evil person Gail Norton is. A lobbyist for the lead industry. For the lead industry. How long did it take to get lead out of our gasoline? And Gail Norton was one of those people that said, wait a minute. The science is not completely in yet. I realize there have been 75 years of studies, but it's not. There are scientists who disagree. Come on now. And why take the lead out of paint? Oh, come on. Lead in paint makes it work better. What, your little inner city children are dying from eating it? Well, Jesus, God, give them something to eat so they're not gnawing on the windowsills. How hard is that to figure out? Don't you love these Republicans? Wouldn't you like to line them all up and have a talk with them? Wouldn't you? You know you would. Every single one of them. Every single Republican office holder is a liar, a thug, a cheat, a hypocrite, a sneak, a killer, and pro-death. Every single one of them. All of them. All of them. And taken together, they are singularly the most evil force on the planet right now. Okay. But enough from me. Let's go back to your phone calls. Gabe is calling from Hollywood, Florida. Gabe, welcome to the program.
Hey, welcome, Mike.
Thank you.
Welcome back, rather.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're really not on the air yet. They said January 1st, but I caught you on Sirius, and I had to call in.
Yeah, we're going to be on WINZ starting, I think, January 2nd.
Yep, with Lionel after you. So that's a nice duo back-to-back.
Well, there you go.
But anyway, I've never spoken to you before. I've listened to your show many times. I love your show. It's the best show I've heard in years. I'm mostly been into sports all my life, and recently I've just turned into politics, and I've noticed I've lost a lot of my friends because of this war, because of the nonsense with Bush, and I just wanted to relay that to you, and I've actually called my friends idiots and had bad feelings, and that's all occurred because of this crap. And
well, you're not alone. That's happened to a lot of us. It's happened to me. I get emails from people that say the same thing. I mean, there's only so much you can overlook when you're dealing with people. You know, you can have your political disagreements and still get along, but there comes a point when it just doesn't work anymore. And I've reached that point with a number of people that I know. With me, it was over the Israeli-Palestinian issue.
Oh, that too, yes.
For the most part. And then I started losing friends over this Bush bastard issue. So I know what you're going through. I do.
It's almost like they're so blinded they can't see the light. It's unbelievable. No matter what occurs, there's no weapons. There's no connection with Iraq. I mean, over and over again, things pop up, and you go, "You see," and
no, they
still
don't
want to listen. They just—it's unbelievable. Oh, and even the ones that do listen, well, I'm against the war, but I support the troops. How can you support? Like you're against Hitler, but you support the Nazi stormtroopers or something.
I
don't get it. How can you support killing other people in another country for no reason, destroying their country? They have no electricity, and nobody cares. Everybody's just worried about Britney Spears and Donald Trump and this crap over here. It's unbelievable.
I hear you. Hey, listen, I got a break here, but thanks, Gabe. I hope we're going to hear from you, okay?
Oh, you got it.
All right, sir. Take care.
Take care.
Truth, justice, and the American way. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Gary is calling from Kentucky. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hey,
hi,
Gary.
Mike. How are you?
Doing fine, sir.
I just wanted to bring up a couple of points about some things. I've been listening to your show recently, and I really like it a lot. There was something I found over the holidays. I drive a semi, and I finally got a couple of days off. And I like to play on the video on the computer and stuff. And I got on Google Video, and I have heard of a guy. I was looking for his show called Terror Storm. It's a guy named Alex Jones who has a talk show out of Austin, Texas,
right.
The left-wing guy. And he has a video on there called Terror Storm, which is really good. It's about, you know, basically the police state and all that. That's, you know, they're trying to bring to bay. They being the you know, the New World Order or the Trialist or whoever. And I stumbled across one of his videos called, I typed in a Google search engine on the videos. I typed in Alex Jones / 9/11, and it came up with one about Kennedy. And it came up with a thing that was talking about Grandpa Bush, Prescott, having been hooked into a bank. And they had literally... seize the bank, so to speak, J. Edgar Hoover had, because of ties to the Nazis. And I thought, how wild is that? You know, and what's the possibilities? But I know of the New World Order does exist, and the Trilaterals are 300 of the most powerful people on the planet with the sole purpose of bringing about a one world power, so to speak. So it's not too far-fetched. I was just wondering if any of your listeners had ever heard of anything like that, and if they had ever have any knowledge about it or anything they could add to it.
All right. Well, first of all, it's fairly common knowledge. Once you start investigating the Bush family, and let me answer you on the air, Gary, because we're getting a lot of static. I appreciate you checking in. I hope you're going to call in again. Most of the people who listen to this program understand that Prescott Bush the bank, and it really doesn't matter. But they were financing the development of the Wehrmacht, the Nazi war machine. And Prescott Bush had to be warned by Franklin Roosevelt that he would go to prison, or he would be charged with under Trading with the Enemy Act if he didn't stop. Most of the people who listen to this program are aware of that. The Bush family is a criminal enterprise. I don't call them the Bush crime family just to be a snot. I call them the Bush crime family because if you look back over the history of this family, you will find, up to and including the president, and not just George, but his sick, psychotic brothers, they have been responsible for the sort of crime that if you or I did it, we would have been put in prison years ago and never see the light of day again, or sentenced to death for capital murder. This is a bad family. It's very simply put, a bad, bad family. Always has been, always will be. They are corrupt to the very core. Each generation of the Bush family seems to want to try to outdo the previous generation in terms of corruption. So, now as far as Alex Jones is concerned, I've been a guest on this program a couple of times. I must tell you, he's not a liberal. If Alex is anything, he's libertarian. Matter of fact, Alex is a rather conservative. He's a libertarian conservative. If I had to pigeonhole him, it's hard to pigeonhole Alex. He's a very interesting man to listen to. I've had a good time being a guest on his program a couple of times. He's very bright, knows how to do research, has a good staff that works for him. He can dig up stuff that you and I would spend 10 years trying to find. He's got all sorts of videos that have been created either by him or by people who have worked for him. And if you go to his website, there are all sorts of videos that you can purchase there. Now, I'm not advertising for the man, but since you brought him up, as I say, I think Alex Jones is a hell of a guy and does what he feels has to be done, and he does it quite well. I wouldn't say I agree with everything Alex Jones says, nor would he say that he agrees with everything I say. He and I are on the same page on a lot of issues. I think he's on 50 or 60 radio stations. He has a very interesting and entertaining, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way when I say entertaining. Hell, this program's entertaining. He has a very interesting and entertaining program. And for people who have not listened to Alex Jones, I recommend it. You ought to check in and see what he's got to say. He's always got very interesting guests. He is an adamant 9/11 non-believer, just like I am, only he takes it one step further. He is convinced that it was deliberately organized, plotted, and planned by the Bush administration. I'm not at that point yet, although, by God, I may get there soon. So, yeah, most of the people who listen to this program are familiar with the Prescott Bush Nazi connection and the fact that the Bush family is and has been and will be, as long as there are Bushes crawling around this planet, a criminal enterprise. That's all they're here for. These are criminals. These people make crime families over the past 500-600 years in Asia, Europe, South America, and North America look like amateurs. That's how intense and vicious and vile and criminal they really are. That's why I can't stand them, any of them. You have to wonder how much money that passed through the hands of Prescott Bush, George Bush's grandfather, was used to purchase Zyklon B gas and execute Jews, the children who had been rounded up by these Nazi bastards and put in death camps. And this is what is stunning to me, is that any government of Israel would have anything to do with any administration in this country that's headed by anyone with the name Bush. But the Israelis have their reasons, I'm sure. All right, break here. We'll be back. Lots of phone calls when we come back. If you're game, the number here is 800-989-1480. Stay with us, all right? I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. As promised, let's go to the phones here quickly, starting with Greg, who is calling in from Sacramento. Greg, welcome to the program.
Hello and good evening.
Hi, and thanks for your patience.
No problem. You know, I just wanted to ask you quickly, how was it that you were able to kick your habit?
Smoking? Well, it took an awful lot of effort and a lot of determination. I finally got to the point where, you know, I'm not a stupid man, but I was an addict. And, you know, I knew back in the 60s, in the late 60s, that smoking was extremely dangerous and would probably kill me. But part of the reason Kathy and I decided to have a baby, and even though I stopped long before we got pregnant, I just thought, well, if I'm going to have a kid, it's going to be rough enough because I'm so damn old, but I better stop smoking. So what I did was use the Nicorette gum and the patches, and for the umpteenth time, only on the last go around, I just set my mind to it and said, I'm going to do this. I don't care if I have a nervous breakdown, if I go rug chewing insane, I'm still going to do it. And you know what was the weirdest damn thing and made me feel kind of creepy was it was not that difficult once you make up your mind. I could never imagine life without cigarettes. Oh, my God. I mean, cigarettes have been my best friends. You understand what I'm saying? Anything I've ever done for 35 or 40 years. Now, I'm not out of the woods. You probably know. Long-term smoker. You know, you've got a good chance of still developing lung cancer or heart disease long after you quit. So, you know, all I know is that I have stopped and I stopped. This January will be 5 years. And wow. So far, so good. But I didn't want to quit. I wanted to smoke for the rest of my life because it tasted good. It felt good. I stunk. I know that it had an effect on. I've always been relatively active too. I've been a runner. I've been a swimmer. I'm at an age now where I walk. I will walk some days 5 or 6 miles. So I've always had that cardio, that cardiovascular activity, that aerobic activity. I don't know if that had. I can remember finishing up a 2 mile swim and getting out of the pool, drying off. Showering off in the locker room, getting out in the truck and lighting up a cigarette. You know, as soon as I got out in the car.
So the bottom line is just the willpower thing.
It's determination, but there are enough aids out there now. There are enough stop smoking aids to that you can, you know, anyone who sets your mind to it can do it. It's a struggle because it is an addiction. And it's an absolute bitch. I swear it is. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do. But man, if you do it, you're just like, whoa, I did it.
Enough said. I just wanted to
all right.
get your insight. The real reason why, and I got to try to stop myself. But anyway, the reason why I called you is sometime right about the time that. Right before you got your pink slip,
uh-huh.
I wanted to call and ask you and Kathy because I was thinking Kathy too because women seem to be up on these little things as well. But I was on edge before the election and wondering if we were really going to take back the House, and I was nervous uh-huh. and had some optimism, but been on the cautious side. But I was really kind of wondering if there was really some sort of karma, left that we could, begin the process of trying to get our country back. Now, obviously, there was some quote unquote karma with this because we won the Democrats, that is, and so now I'm kind of throwing the question out here now, throwing it out now to see if you or Kathy think that karma may still be there because we don't have our country back, but we're, sort of in the beginning stages because the moron is still there and still driving us, taking us down the toilet with him.
All right, let me answer you on the how are you listening tonight, on the internet or on the air?
I turned off the radio, but you got preempted by a hockey game.
Oh, you must be listening on the Quake.
No, Talk City.
Oh, Talk City. Okay. All right. Well, let me try to give you as quick an answer as I can here. In the first place, I'm not a great believer in something called karma. I understand what the word means. It's a Sanskrit word that means balance. One of the reasons, whatever belief I have in so-called karma comes from a scientific point of view. Is it Newton's third law or first law? I don't know anymore, but it's the action-reaction thing. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. There is also the conservation of energy aspect. So on a scientific level, I guess one could say, yeah, all right, there is such a thing as karmic response or karmic reaction. But on a spiritual or a metaphysical level, I don't believe in that. Why did the election come down the way it did? I'll tell you why. Because enough Democrats got off their asses and went out and voted. That's A. B, it was enough to overcome the whatever theft has been programmed into these god-awful machines. And C, the Republicans got very pissed off because they found the rank-and-file Republican evangelicals got very pissed off because they realized that the Republican Party is chock-a-block with homosexuals, which doesn't mean anything to a normal person, but to an evangelical, it's like, oh, God! Oh, no! So they stayed home.
Yeah.
So, as far as I'm concerned, karma, shmarma. What happened was people got active, and enough, like Greg Palast said, if they're going to steal the elections, make them really steal it. In other words, Democrats turn out in sufficient numbers so that these programs that were set up to steal the close races would be overpowered by the number of voters who were voting Democratic.
Right.
Now, having said that, who knows what forces lurk out there? Who knows what, maybe we are all just participating in Shiva's dream. I have no idea. I would never presume. I'm an atheist. A lot of people say, no, you're not. You're an agnostic. Oh, agnostic, atheist. I don't give a damn. I don't believe in any of this religiosity crap. I think it's great. In one manner of speaking, that over the history of the human race, every single culture, every single societal organism has developed, has invented some sort of God story, some sort of a savior story, some sort of virgin birth story. You know, it's all out there. Okay, fine. That's all well and good. But where I draw the line on it is when they use that to go murder other countries, murder other people. You know, God told the ancient Israelis to cross the River Jordan, go into Canaan, and murder everybody. Kill them all. You know, kill the warriors and then go into the towns and slaughter the women and children. Screw that. I want as much to do with that God as I want to do with cancer. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So I don't believe any of it.
I know. I don't either. And I'm just saying that my perspective is that I just don't think that we should, you know, given the history of this country and what we've had in the past, that we really shouldn't, that the suffering that we've been put through for the last 6 years, that it just seems like it's not supposed to happen. We shouldn't have to endure this kind of pain and anguish. You know, it's just...
Well, and we wouldn't, except for the fact that we're an ignorant tribe. We're very stupid people over here. We allow, you know, we're in control of our destiny up to a point. I don't mean we're in control of, you know, when we die or how long we're going to live.
Right.
But as long as we're sucking in oxygen, to some extent, we're in control of what happens. And we've set this up. We did nobody. There's no invading force that brought Nixon or Bush or any of these bastards into America. These are homegrown criminals. And
right.
And any time we really wanted to get rid of them, we could. Hey, I got to leave it there. Thanks, Greg. Call again, all right? Stay
okay.
In touch. Always good to hear from you. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. One past the hour. Back to your phone calls. Blake is calling from San Francisco. Blake, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Hey, yeah. You know, I'm glad I waited a while because I got some thoughts together, too. You know, I called originally just to say that Arnold Schwarzenegger is not a nice guy, and he is a Republican, and he's slick, and he you know, he was put in office by the same machine that put Ronald Reagan in and what's his face, Nixon in office. And, let me see my thoughts together here. You know, I've been on a lot of stuff that you talk about for a long time. And I'm also, one of those people who, was a whistleblower and went through almost living on the street and being harassed and not being able to get jobs anywhere. And, the thing that
Yikes.
I was whistleblowing on was the privatization, university privatization stuff. Privatization is the end of democracy, and I think I can't remember if you or Randy Rhodes maybe was the one who stressed that. And it's gone.
Well, it also might have been Tom Hartman.
Yeah. Tom Hartman, I listened to too.
Yeah, Tom Hartman has written books on this, and Tom Hartman is absolutely correct. And I think anyone who studies political systems understands that capitalism is so antithetical to democratic ideals or self-government as to render the concept ludicrous.
Well, especially laissez-faire capitalism where there's no control. You know,
oh, that's murder. That's like, absolute murder. That,
you know,
that has a ruling class and millions of people who live in poverty or near poverty in order to support the ruling class. This is the kind of stuff that Marx and Engels wrote about. And because Marx and Engels wrote about it, It has the taint of communism, but it also happens to be the truth.
Well, you know, it's a continuum all along the line, you know, and there's extremes. Right now, we've got the opposite extreme. We've got fascism, which is, all the way at the other end, which means, no control over anything. And that's why we had, Theodore Roosevelt went in and did all the antitrust laws and started those up because the railroad companies, you know, that Leland Stanford and friends, built across the United States were, murdering Indians and becoming ultra wealthy, and there were all these poor people barely surviving every day with the rich overclass. And there's a book. Anybody who can read, other languages like French or Spanish, there's a book called "Birth of Fascism." I don't know if it's been published in English or not, but it's "Naissance du Fascisme" in French. It's also been published in Italian. It was written by Angelo Tosca, who was a trade unionist in Italy. It was published in 1938. It was banned all over Germany, and it describes how the fascist party took over in Italy, and it's exactly what's been going on in the United States during the last few years. You know, the Bush family's been in power for, five terms, because old man Bush was really running the Reagan administration while he was up, Alzheimer's, and remember how they used to pull him off the stage and stuff?
Sure.
He was asleep. So Bush was running that the whole time, for three terms, four terms, so I guess three altogether. And then, his little boy comes in and, he's running that too, even though they're, they make all these like media gestures that they're not. Obviously they are. You know, George Bush didn't get in power by himself, and he's not staying in power by himself. He is a jerk. He is, he is a creep. But there's also a big machine behind him that stays.
Oh, sure. He's he was selected specifically and deliberately because he is so easily manipulated. Now, if you remember, before the election of 2000, way back during the campaign, when the Bush campaign hired, Dick Cheney to go find George Bush a running mate, remember? And after about a couple of months, the whole thing was a farce and a sham, of course, but after a couple of months, it was announced that Cheney would be his running mate, because the joke was Cheney looked around and, goodness gracious sakes alive, the best candidate he could find to run with George would be him, Dick Cheney. Well, the reason they put Cheney with Bush is so that Cheney could control him. Bush is an ignorant, stupid little man who has no worldview, no curiosity, no reason to be where he is. You know, I said a couple of nights ago on the program here, back when he was a minority partner in the baseball team, the Texas Rangers, he had this idea that he wanted to be the commissioner of baseball. And word got out to the other baseball club owners around the country, and they more or less got word to him and said, no, there's no way in hell. And the reason for it is they just saw him for what he was, a half-witted fool who couldn't do anything, much less run a country.
Well, the same, it was the same. The same was true to a lesser degree of Adolf Hitler.
Well,
he was run by the people.
A failed house painter. Hey, Blake, I got to leave it there. Here comes a break. Thanks, man. I hope to hear from you again. Okay, take care, Blake.
Here's your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Almost, before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Wayne is calling from Boston, has been holding on forever. Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Because you're the only one that beats up on this Bush crime family. I really enjoy it. It makes my day after watching TV most of the day.
I hear you.
Just CNN, Fox. I wouldn't lose any sleep if I put all three of them places got blown up, because they're the problem.
Well, they don't make it easy for Americans to make rational decisions about how we should govern ourselves. As a matter of fact, they make it damn difficult with their lies and the crap that they put out there. But that's what television is designed to do. But anyway, that's not why you really called.
No, I just wanted to make a couple points about the Iraq war, though. About the truth is, you know, no one mentions the 100,000 defense contractors running amok over there.
Right.
Everybody knows just the Baptists that are blowing everything up, and they say it's Al Qaeda, and
it's a civil war that has descended into bloody, chaotic anarchy, and it's a result of this war is a result of two things, in my opinion: the oppression that Saddam Hussein, the political oppression that Saddam Hussein put on the people of Iraq all those many years, coupled with two wars engineered by the United States, a war that Saddam got them into with Iran, and 12, 14 years of sanctions that took a country that was moving away from Islamic radicalism and moving into a secular, always was governed by, at least in modern history, governed not by religious nutballs, but the sanctions that were put on that country by the United States and the UK, using the UN as a cover, utterly and absolutely destroyed the Iraqi middle class, destroyed everything that was good in Iraq, except it didn't destroy Saddam, which was what the goal ostensibly was. So who's responsible for the chaos in Iraq? The U.S., the U.K., the U.N.
Yeah, and the point I see is, no, he the ceasefire agreement, he complied with it. He didn't have a Scud missile. They waited until he had nothing, and then they invaded him. And it's just... it's like a big bully, you know. It just drives me crazy, man.
I hear you. All right, what else you got?
And another thing about the, they're not like in Vietnam. They gave the Vietnamese like tanks and helicopters. They're not giving these Iraqis nothing. They're giving them guns. That's it. And there's no solution in sight here.
Well, the only solution, it depends on what is considered a solution. If the solution is to stop the death of American soldiers and Marines, the American military, the solution is to get the hell out. If the solution is to stop the killing of Iraqi by Iraqi, that's not going to happen. There's an absolute, utter bloodbath that is going on in that country. It's going to continue to go on until these people exhaust themselves. It is not unlike what happened in this country between 1861 and 1864, 1865, during the Civil War, where Americans killed Americans over actually, really, when you get down to it, nothing. Ideas that could have been worked out. The idea of slavery, the idea of a trade with foreign countries, the idea of the industrialized North and the agrarian South, all of that could have been worked out. But we decided to murder each other, and we murdered each other. And the country is still divided and will always be divided here in the United States. So that's what's going on in Iraq. And the bloodbath will continue. Once Saddam is hanged, it's going to get even worse, much worse. So just brace yourself, all right?
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for checking in, Wayne. I appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. We'll talk again. Jim is calling from Jackson County, Mississippi. Right? Mississippi?
Yes, Mr. Boy. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah. Is this Jim
with the Jackson County Community Coalition?
Yeah, is this Jim Yancey?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, we finally got a hold of you. Oh, my God. Kathy left you a message. We need to have you on as a guest, not just a caller. So go ahead and tell me what you called about now, Jim, but we want to get you on and talk to you for like a better part of an hour.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to thank your listeners and the support we've gotten here from your listeners and folks from all over the country helping us down here, because as you well know, this thing is far from over. This is the 16th month, and we've got I was out at places today that folks still have not got help yet, which is unbelievable.
Oh, I know. Sarge has been keeping me updated and keeping the listeners to this program updated. I cannot believe what is going on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. It just boggles the mind.
A friend of mine told me once that when you don't know who you are, then you elect leaders who don't know who they are. And that's not a shot at, I don't hope that's not a shot at the American people, but the...
Well, if it is a shot at the American people, it's deserved, but go ahead.
Well, it's like taking two steps forward and three steps back.
Right.
We deal with a family as we can help them, and it's just unbelievable that we've gone this far into this process. And it makes, I mean, I can understand, I spent 7 years in the Middle East as a survival instructor for the government, and I can understand how bad it is over there when you can't even deal with your own issues here at a very local level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of our big problems has just been the disconnect that a lot of people think that it's over down here.
And Jim, are you available tomorrow evening?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let me do this right now. I want to put you on hold, and I'm going to have Kathy pick up. She's going to get not Kathy, but Ian.
Okay.
We're going to get a phone number where we can reach you right now. Kathy's going to call you off the air.
Okay.
And we'll set something up for tomorrow night. Because what I want to do is have you on for an extended period of time. So first of all, you can talk about what it is you have been doing and just fill us in on all this stuff. Also about this effort with Head On Radio Network and Nova M Radio Network and some other folks who are trying to get together these delivery of materials that are necessary to help people get back in their homes. So let me put you on hold.
Okay.
And if you're not doing anything tomorrow night, let's just plan on getting together here on this program sometime tomorrow between 9 and midnight. We'll work it out. We'll get your phone number. Give your phone number to Ian where you can be reached right now, and Kathy will give you a call immediately, okay?
Okay.
All right, Jim, thanks. I'm glad you called in. Now, don't hang up. Just let me put you on hold. All right. And Ian in Phoenix, if you can handle that for us. I want to talk with this man so badly, and I want all of us, myself included, to hear who he is and what he's doing, and how we can help. This is something that we're just going to have to do. We've got to do it because the Bush crime family and these murderous Republican contractors who are screwing the people in the Mississippi Gulf Coast, Louisiana, I mean, this is something we can do. It's something here at home. I bleed for the people 2 years ago who were wiped out, and the villages that were destroyed in Indonesia with the tidal wave and the tsunami and it just pains my heart to think about what's going on in Darfur. All of it. It's horrifying. But this is something here, right here, that we can do something about. I'm not saying, we all need to pack up and take our power tools and go down and rebuild Louisiana and Mississippi. No, we can't. We can't. That's impossible. But there are some things we can do. In addition to putting pressure where the pressure should be put on the federal government. We're in this together, damn it. You know, this used to be the United States of America. Where when a tragedy like this occurred, there was a response. And yes, by God, it comes from the federal government. No, by God, it doesn't come from private contractors. It comes from the federal government. It comes from the agencies specifically set up to handle this sort of catastrophe and crisis. The very agencies that Bush and Reagan and Bush 1 have utterly and absolutely tried to destroy and ruin. We'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll talk about it tomorrow. We're going to have Jim on, and Jim Yancey, and we're going to find out exactly what you and I can do, exactly what we can do, if we're inclined.
Just as long as day.
We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Toe-to-toe.
toe, touch and go, give a cheer, get your souvenir. People running around in circles, don't know what they're headed for. Everybody's crying peace on earth just as soon as we win this war. So straight ahead.
Ten before the hour, thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program in Phoenix again tonight, also answered your calls. Thanks, Ian. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Thanks to our webmaster, Mark Marshall, and the moderators at MikeMalloy.com on the message board. Also to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, who archives the program. Podcasts and downloads and all that sort of stuff are available of this program. The executive producer of The Malloy Show is Catherine Bay. Is that it? That's the credits for tonight? Nothing else? Okay. Let's go back to your phone calls then. Marge is calling from Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Hey there. How you doing?
I'm doing.
You mean Georgie Porgy hasn't been back to sit on what's-his-name's front porch and enjoy the weather or whatever?
Isn't that something? He hasn't been to Trent Lott's.
Help me with his name. I know he was the head of the RNC, and it's not Trent Lott. It's the governor of Mississippi.
What's his name? The thug. Haley Barber.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
What a... Hum-na-hum-na-hum-na-hum-na-hum-na. Oh, jeez. There's so many of them, you know?
I know.
Hey, did Nancy Skinner win?
No. She got an enormous amount of votes, but she was defeated by the 7 or 8 or 5 term incumbent, and if she runs again, she'll beat him the next time.
Uh-huh. Well, it's just that we need, a staunch fighter, a gladiator against this Frankenfood. And, you know, the FDA comes out and said that clone meat and milk doesn't have to be labeled. And what the hell do you care what you're eating, you know? And if she got a hold of this, oh, she could go on for an hour and a half without taking a breath.
I know. What is your objection to it?
I just like to know what I'm eating.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
and the idea is that, you know, there's certain things that maybe it doesn't show up right away, but maybe a couple years down the road,
right. You
know, your teeth might start falling out or your bladder goes to hell. Your liver is, you know, got holes in it. Looks like
Marge, that's going to happen to you and me anyway. I mean, we can eat whole wheat, germ, and soy.
Quit telling people how old we are, Michael.
Well, I know, but that's just you mean for the younger folks. You don't want to have them have their bladders fall out on the street.
Oh, jeez.
I hear you. I hear you.
It's just the idea that these people are just such a bunch of lying scum. I called to say that I didn't like it, and I says, "Who's in charge of this outfit?" And well, it's an agency. I says, "Okay. What kind of an agency? Who oversees it?" Well, I says, is it the judicial, the legislative, you know, the executive branch? Who's in charge? Well, it's an agency, says she. And I thought,
it's a regulatory agency. It's the Food and Drug Administration.
Yeah, I know who it is.
And everybody in those agencies are appointed by the executive branch, by Bush. Not him directly, but he delegates.
And they report to corporate heads.
Sure, exactly. Exactly. They're not there to protect you and me. I don't care what the agency is, EPA, FDA, it doesn't make any difference what the initials are. They are there to make it easier for corporate America to avoid the law. And make more money.
Good.
Now, that's not
why. We keep
why.
Coming back to that. The United States of the dollar.
Yeah, well, that's not why these agencies were set up to begin with. You and I both know that predatory capitalism, which is what capitalism is, unless it's regulated, doesn't give a damn about you or me or my kids or your kids or grandkids or little babies. Just doesn't care.
Bunch of lying crock.
I know.
Listen, before I forget, I think it's something that you would like to check out. Whatthebleep.com. It's about a movie that relates between science and spirituality. The movie is called What the Bleep Do We Know?
Bleep, really?
Yeah, really.
Oh, What the Bleep Do We Know is the name of the movie. And what's the website?
Whatthebleep.com.
Whatthebleep.com.
Okay. Yeah, you can put in whatever bleep you so choose.
Well, yeah. That's why I said, is it really the word bleep?
As far as the website is concerned, it really is. And also the name of the movie is really bleep. So, I mean, it's not...
I got to see this.
When I heard about it, I haven't seen it myself yet, but when I heard about it, I said, this is something Mike would like to see because it's a correlation, a comparison, pick your adjective, between science and spirituality. And I thought, sounds fascinating.
Yeah, okay, all right.
So, anyhow, good luck with Jim, what's his name?
Jim Yancey. That'll be an interesting conversation, and I think a very important conversation. You know, because you've been listening to this program for years, I very seldom have guests.
Yeah.
And when I do, other than Greg Palast, there's got to be a damn good reason why.
How's he doing back? Oh, boy, I miss him.
Greg's doing fine.
That's
eventually, we'll have him back on. He's on our very short list of guests. We just don't do guests on this program.
Yeah, I know.
But we're going to have Jim Yancey on tomorrow, and we're going to be talking about the Mississippi Gulf Coast, which includes Mississippi, Louisiana, and parts of Alabama, and what is going on down there, and what is not going on, and what people can do.
What's his name again? The sweetheart from the RNC.
Haley Barbour. B-A-R-B-O-U-R. He's a criminal.
Yeah, I remember him taking $2 million from the someplace and
Chinese
rechanneling
communist.
It and then walking off with it.
Yeah. He's a liar, a cheat, a thug. Plus, he eats way too much bacon fat. So
shucks. What happened to his cholesterol?
I don't think he cares because he probably thinks he's an evangelical Christian doing God's work. So when
he's
croaks,
immune.
Yeah, he's immune.
Yeah, right, sure.
He'll go directly to heaven.
Well, if I don't see you before then, you have a happy, healthy new year.
All right.
The same to Kathy and Molly.
All right.
And we'll be talking presently.
We will. Thanks, Marge.
You take care now.
All right. Back at you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, that's it from us for tonight. Thanks for participating, however you did that. If I'm leaving you on hold here, and I notice looking at the screen that I am leaving a whole bunch of you on hold, I apologize. You know how it goes on this program. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.